Ephesians chapter number 3, book of Ephesians. A couple of weeks ago I preached on the subject, the theme of the church, and I'd like to deal with the purpose of the church. And I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter number 3. I want to read this chapter in its entirety tonight. We get in chapter number 3, verse number 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can hold in our hands the blessed Word of God. Thank you tonight that we don't have to guess at what it says, that it's very, very plain. Lord, we just need you, however, to teach us. For, Lord, without the Spirit of God, we have no understanding of spiritual things. And so we ask you tonight to teach us from your Word. We pray tonight that your Spirit would just lead and direct, have full course in our hearts and our lives. For we ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As I mentioned a moment ago, previously, about 2 weeks ago, I preached on the great theme of the church. And that theme is none other, of course, than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to the church is really to be all about Him, not about ourselves. As we come to Ephesians chapter number 3, I believe that within these verses is what we might describe as the great purpose of the church. And that purpose is really quite simple, and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through the heavenlies. Go with me to verse 10 and 11 once again, and allow me to read. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Those are interesting terms there. Those principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifest wisdom of God. And so he's here telling us that these heavenly structure of what I believe are angelic beings is that God wants you and I to project the many faceted, the manifold wisdom of God. You see, the angels, though they be at the throne of God, do not understand the wondrous grace of God. They have never known that grace. You and I have something they do not have. They've never understood, I don't believe, quite the way we do, the love of God that has such a great and large, I'm trying to think of a great word here, humongous love that God has for you and I, they never understood in the context that you and I do as being unlovely creatures, and yet God so loving us. And so you and I have the wonderful privilege, I believe, to be that kind of a witness of the grace and love and the beauty of God to these heavenly creatures. I believe in order for us to do that, God gives to us some special tools. In verse number 12, He says, "In whom we have boldness." That's an interesting word. Throughout the book of Acts, we find the early church exhibited boldness when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness." You know, when you and I will admit to one another that there are times, if not many times, when we are afraid to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus, we are admitting that we are not filled with the Spirit of God, because He's never afraid. And we are admitting we're not allowing the Lord Jesus to live His life completely through us. But God wants to give us that we might live for Him, and that might be something that is a testimony really unto the angelic beings. Also, God gives us this beautiful thing called access. As we were praying tonight, I remember as Jay was praying, and he was talking about the not completely understanding the matter that you and I, we are the sons of God and He is our Father. I don't think we ever comprehend all of these things. We kind of understand these things, but to really comprehend all that's involved with that, it's almost mind-boggling, isn't it? And as you and I have this wonderful thing called access unto God, whereby we can come to Him and seek His help in the time of need. Are you like me? Have you found out you're needy all the time? Have you discovered that need is just ongoing and how we must seek after Him? And that access, by the way, can be gained by confidence or with confidence by faith in Him. When we believe Him, we understand, hey, I have this wonderful privilege to get near unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this access to the life of Christ that gives us boldness, for it becomes then Christ living in us. There's a verse that's come to mean so much to me in the last year. It's found in Galatians chapter 2. He says in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ." So when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, we died with Him there. "Nevertheless," He says, "I live, yet not I, but the Bible says, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I have the privilege tonight to allow God to take complete control of my life and for Him to live through me. And that living through me, I have then that kind of boldness. I have that kind of testimony unto this world, and also, I believe, to the other world where the angels dwell. What a beautiful, wonderful purpose we have. Notice there, might be known by the church as God's people come together one with another. As we finish out this chapter, and what I'd like for us also to gain here is what we see with Paul in two things that come under his lips in inspiration. Please understand something. When I or another preacher says, "Paul says this," it's God speaking through them. Understand, it's inspired by God. And God used them as tools, but we certainly know that it's God speaking through that particular tool. And I want us to notice here the desire of Paul in verse number 13. And then I want us to notice, beginning in verse 14 to the end of this chapter, the prayer of the Apostle Paul. And through this prayer, through this desire, Paul is seeking for something to take place in our lives that gives us that inner strength that the purpose of God might be fulfilled in us, not only as individuals, but as a church. Notice verse number 13. In verse 13 he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Just simply stated, we're not to quit because others are persecuted, because somebody else comes under the gun, because somebody else has some problems that come into their life, we ought not to quit and to walk away. You know, it's an interesting thing. Seldom do we find the persecuted ones themselves quitting, but normally they're getting stronger. Have you noticed when you read the book of Acts that as persecution came to the early church, they got stronger and stronger? Did you notice that as things began to happen, and even when Stephen was martyred, they did not back away, but they gritted their teeth, not necessarily, but they really gripped a hold of God and asked Him to give them even greater strength that they might accomplish the work of God. And we ought not to be a people to ever despair because things get tough. I hate to tell you this tonight. Some of you have mentioned this to me lately as well. I believe in the good old U.S. of A., where we have our First Amendment rights, we're going to see those trampled upon. I feel that in the very near future, we're going to probably see some horrendous persecution to God's people. Matter of fact, it's already taken place within our nation's borders. And things are happening at an awful rate. I don't know about you, but I get kind of weary of the fact that we have homosexuals who throw it in our face. I wasn't too excited as I pick up my newspaper the other night and see a gay couple on the front page of our newspaper. Nothing gay about it. It's just plain clear and wrong. And it's a sad shape of affairs that we are in. But we are in that particular place, I believe, tonight. But, oh, listen, that will not make us weaker. It will make us stronger as it happens to us. But oftentimes we look at others and we get scared off. You know, when I've gone to ball games, I've noticed that when my team is losing, why, it's real easy to, well, we need to get to the car. You know, there's going to be a big bunch of folks coming. And, you know, if we don't get out there right away, why, it's going to take us a while to get home. So let's leave a little bit early because, after all, you know, they're losing big time. And I've noticed we do that when we're winning, too. But we're going to get out of there. But I'll tell you what, if that game is really, I mean, it's going down the wire, we stay put, do we not? Isn't that an unusual thing? I believe we need to be not like those fans that are willing to get up and leave. We need to be like those at the Special Olympics. Like those when they come and they see those folks and they're just cheering for them, not necessarily to win, but just to finish. And by the way, to finish well is to win. The Apostle Paul, he talked about that and talked about the fact that he was looking forward to the end of that fight that he had. And how we finish is very important. No matter the conflicts in between, we ought to be a people who realize, say, though there are those who are going through tribulations, those who are being even martyred for the cause of Christ, that ought not stop us. Paul says, my desire is that would not cause you to faint or to quit. Matter of fact, he says it's for your glory. It's for your glory. Interesting statement. And then in verse number 14, he talks about bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find the prayer of Paul for these Ephesians. I believe we would do very well tonight to understand the prayers of the Bible. For they're quite different than the average prayers of God's people. If we stop and look at it and analyze the prayers that are so often prayed in meetings, it's basically for ease and for pain-free living. We're more concerned about the physical needs of people than we are the spiritual needs. And oftentimes we'll ask prayer even for the physical needs and realize that we're in church and we ought to say, yeah, we need for them to see the Lord in a better light too. And it's kind of an add-on. We need to really stop and think about that tonight. For I believe that as the Apostle Paul prayed, it was a very spiritual and a prayer that we need to really begin to mimic in our lives. Notice in verse number 16 particularly, he seeks God on their behalf, and notice what he asks, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Now, that is something there. You look at that according to His riches, not ours. According to what He is able to deliver us, not what we have the ability to deliver. So we're calling upon the riches of Christ to what? Be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And so Paul is saying here, I ask God that He might bring to you an inner strength. This inner strength, as I find from the Word of God, only comes by the fullness of the Spirit of God. To be strengthened, he says, with might by His Spirit, whereat? In the inner man. Again, we need to look at and consider as we are praying for God to work inwardly in the lives of His people. His foundation for this prayer and for this inner man, I believe, comes in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Let me stop there for just a moment. Rooted and grounded, talking about the foundation of it all. And so the Lord here, as we're seeing the Word of God, God is saying to us, hey, we need to come to Him in prayer, seeking for God to do something in the inner man of an individual through His Spirit. And one of the things that He needs to do in His Spirit is to help us to really understand and grab a hold of the love of God. We might be rooted and grounded in love. That our motives might be for the right purpose. That our desire to serve Him might be for the right reason. That we might have that inner strength. And notice here, he says in verse number 18, going on concerning that love, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I believe he's saying here that we might have a deep understanding of this concept. That it might really girdle within us and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. This prayer is really singular. It's a prayer that we might have the fullness of the Spirit of God. What do we learn from Scripture if we're filled with the Spirit of God? What do we learn? We learn that the fullness of the Spirit is the same, by the way, as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. It is He taking charge. It is He living His life in us. That life is successful spiritually. It's not a life living in the flesh with our own desires, a life that is seeking after our own intents, but it's allowing the Spirit of God to move and to work within us. What tremendous thought here as we pray one for another. What if we prayed more for the healing of the soul and the spirit than we do for the body? What if we prayed more for the inner man than we do for the outer man of our fellow brethren? What might take place? We might be filled with the fullness of God. And I love verse 20. What a great promise. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you recognize tonight that he had confidence in that what he was asking God would do even greater? Have you noticed that God always does greater in answering prayers than your prayer suggests? Have you noticed God is one who wants to answer in a fuller way than we even can think of? I remember years ago, I was telling God how to answer my prayer. And it was a time when we were seeking God's leadership and God's direction in establishing the church. And I didn't know where He wanted us to go. All I knew, we was back in the home area. And my mind was really out in northwest Omaha. I remember that we were in a rented house, and I was seeking, where, God, do you want us to start this church? What is it that, where, how do you want us to do this? And a house came available, and I thought, my goodness. We went and saw the house, and it was 5 bedrooms. I mean, I knew that was an answer to prayer. I knew God wanted us to have that. In this house, there was not only that, but there was a daylight basement, and it was finished. And as I looked at that, I could just see, my goodness, we could start a church right here in our basement. And this is really set up wonderfully. And there's a garage out there, and it was a heated garage to boot. And if we needed another Sunday school room, we could get started right here in this area. And I said, God, there's the answer to my prayer. You need to take care of this for me. And I remember the day that I called to find out if I'd gotten that house. And when I called and they said, no, you didn't get it. Somebody else did. I thought, Lord, you messed up. You really goofed up. And later, as we got in, and some of you might remember the old building we was in over on 34th and Avenue A. And we got into that old building. And I saw this rickety old shack that we were in. The paint was peeling on the outside. Our pastime after church was to walk outside and flick the paint while we talked one with another. And if we'd had more people, we'd have had that church ready to paint again. And we met in that old building. And, you know, Open Door Baptist Church never has had quite the same meeting since we moved here. For down there, when the door was shut, it seemed open in the wintertime. And the wind would howl in there. And when the door opened, it opened right into the auditorium, you know. And, boy, I tell you, the cold air would come into that place. But we were thankful to be there in spite of it. God had blessed exceedingly abundantly. I didn't understand it at that time, but I do now. For God had answered our prayer, but in His way, which is always greater than what we can ever consider. Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What's the purpose of the church? That God might get the glory. That He might get the glory not only here, but also, can we say in the heavenlies, the heavenly places? That He might have that glorious, wondrous position. That is our purpose here. To bring glory to Him. After I got saved, I was taught for many years that the only way to bring glory to God was win X amount of souls to Christ. And so we were given our little tally sheets and we'd go out and we would win people to Christ. I'm not sure we were winning anybody, but we had our little tally sheets and we'd come back and say, I got so many. And it was always unique to me because I remember in those days, we'd add that all up and there would be 50, 60, 70 folks who were won to Christ. And the next Sunday, none of them were in church. Interesting scenario, amen? And none of them ever did go to church. So I'm not too sure what was taking place. But in our exuberance and in our desire, I think we were missing something. It's to bring honor to Him. You know, it's an amazing thing. When we lift up Christ and we speak of Him in glorious, wonderful terms, the world begins to listen to. When He becomes so much a part of our life that we can't help but talk about Him, it's not a matter, I need to witness today. It's almost time to go and talk to somebody about Jesus. No, it's so much a part of our life that it just comes very naturally. I heard the term here a while back. I thought it was wonderful. God gives us divine appointments. Do you know what a divine appointment is? It is when God puts you in the midst of another individual that needs Christ. And He probably does it at a time that we're not really expecting. And sometimes we might even be bothered by it. And sometimes we might even miss out on it because we're in such a hurry to accomplish our own will. Oh, how we need to be led of the Spirit of God to recognize those wondrous divine appointments whereby we can share what is really within our hearts with whoever might be present. How God works and blesses in that. What's the purpose of the church? That we might really see Jesus. It's really the same as the theme. That we might really understand who He is. And He'd be such a part of us that we can't help ourselves but to give Him glory. Father, tonight I pray. I pray You'll work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that You would do a wondrous work in our midst. As we come in these moments to Your table, this time of reflection, this time of memorial, Lord God, I pray tonight that it would be very honoring to You as our hearts and our minds are lifted heavenward, as we consider how wondrous You really are. I pray that You would speak unto our hearts in marvelous ways. For I pray in Jesus' wondrous name, amen.